Oh, yeah. Good testimony. And don't forget to pray over this prayer list. And pray for Ellie, our church secretary. She's down sick this morning. That's why she's not in church. And let's grab our hymnals at this time. Beloved, we'll stand for our final hymn this morning. Please open up to 110. 110. When you've got a problem, you've got to tell it to Jesus. Amen? He's the one that is able to answer from on high. We're going to sing the first and the second of I Must Tell Jesus, hymn 110. Great old hymn of the faith.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Yeah.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver.
Amen, amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing this morning from some of you. Oh, we need to focus when we worship the Lord and sing from the heart to the King of Kings. He is worthy, church, and He's worthy of our very best. Praise the Lord. And you'll notice if you still have your hymnal open, the very next hymn 111, Praise Him. Praise Him. Written by who? Fanny Crosby. The great hymn writer of the faith. Glory to God. Praise Him. I will sing psalms unto my God. Psalm 146 verse 2 says, and that's quite in hymn, all about worshiping the Lord. Well, at this time, I believe we've taken care of all of our business. We've had our offering, and we've had our time of worship and song, and now we come to the Word of God. And grab your Bibles and please open up to the book of Ecclesiastes this morning, church. Ah, that's good. Refreshing cold water. As you're turning to the book of Ecclesiastes this morning, last few weeks, I've been preaching on one of the most important topics in the Christian life, and that is the topic of prayer. And we've learned quite a few things concerning our prayer life from the Word of God, but there's so much more. Folks, we haven't scratched the surface when it comes to the Bible's teachings on the doctrine of prayer of the believer. But here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we're going to read a couple verses, pray and preach. And this morning, I want to bring a message I've entitled, Praying Cautiously. praying cautiously. Church, that's because we got to be real careful what we ask God to do. Because, let me give you an example. You never, ever want to pray any kind of harm or evil upon another. That's called witchcraft. And you know, the Satanists and the Wiccan, the Covens, they pray to Satan to do harm to individuals. And the devil does. I mean, thank the Lord that we have the shield of faith. They can't touch us because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. But as Bible-believing Christians, we need to pray cautiously, folks. We need to be real careful what we ask God to do. And this morning we're going to look at that topic. Look with me here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Lord, I want to speak to you briefly this morning on praying cautiously. Father, in heaven above, how we thank you this morning for the passage before us. We didn't read it all. There's so much more in chapter 5 to read concerning prayer. Lord, we thank you that your word instructs us in righteousness. Lord, we're thankful that your word teaches us knowledge. That is the knowledge of God. Solomon called it the knowledge of the holy. Lord, without it, where would we be? Lord, we'd be lost, heathen, unbelievers on our way to a devil's hell. We thank you for the word of God, the Bible. Lord, we thank you that thou hast preserved thy word to every generation. And the King James Bible is our generation. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you and we ask you to bless our ears that we might hear what saith the Spirit this morning concerning praying cautiously. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, church, this morning we're looking at praying carefully and with caution. In other words, we must be very, very careful about what we ask God for. We must not limit God by asking too little, and we must not tempt God by asking too much. We must consider very closely what we're asking God to do for us in our prayer life. And I take for granted that we all have a prayer life. Some are stronger than others, some are a bit weaker, but we must, if we're believers, we must communicate with our Heavenly Father. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I want to give you four things. Four things this morning from the Bible concerning praying cautiously. The first one is found in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 5. The first of all this morning, church, praying cautiously means we must not pray rashly. Rashly. Look with me in verse 1 again. Chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. We are in the house of God this morning. I'm so thankful for the house of God. Where would we be without the church and fellow believers and worshiping the Lord together and corporately serving him? And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Solomon here, the preacher, the king, the writer of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, tells us very particularly not to pray rashly. That is, without considering. Rashly means quickly. Rashly means doing something, on a whim. Rashly is when you do something without thinking about what you're doing. And he says, we need to pray, not rashly, but think about what we're asking God for. Be quiet, because prayer is powerful. Now, this person described in verse 2 is praying foolishly. And look what he's called in verse number 1. Called a fool. He's called a fool. And he said, and the Bible says he's doing evil. Wow. Serious message. He's doing evil. He's hasty. He's on earth. God is in heaven. And he's uttering foolish requests before his maker. Don't do that. We must not pray rashly. We must contemplate the words that will come out of our mouths or in our hearts before God. And we must ask him, knowing that what we are praying for, listen now, church, is according to his will and not according to our foolish whims. We must pray. Go with me to 1 John. Here's a good one for you. Here's a real good one. Hold your place in Ecclesiastes. We're coming back. In 1 John, look with me in chapter number 4. Here is a most powerful passage concerning prayer. Look at this. 1 John chapter 3. Look in 1 John chapter 3 and look with me at verse number 18. The Bible says, my little children, that's children of God. They're born of God. They're little children. Little meaning they're not little in stature, but little in maturity spiritually. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's action. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. He's saying, don't allow anything in your life, heart or mind, that is against the will of God, that is against the scripture, because it will give you a guilty conscience. You won't have confidence toward God. But, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, now time out, church, what is he describing in verse 22? Begins with a P. Prayer, thank you. He's describing prayer. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, we're living a sanctified life, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave his commandment. Now, folks, clearly here we're told that when we ask in our heart, notice how many times in this passage he mentions the heart. He mentions the heart in verse 19. He mentions the heart in verse 20. He mentions the heart in verse 21. See that? The heart, it's heart work. Christianity, praying, is heart work. It's not lip service. It's not flesh service. It's heart work. And so, if our heart's right with God, he's simply saying that he'll answer your prayer. Because if your heart's right with God, your prayer will be according to his will. That's not rocket science. That makes perfect sense to me. Now go back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 again. Be not rash with thy mouth. You know, folks, time out. I don't want to get on a bunny trail here, but sometimes we open our mouths very foolishly, and our mouths get us in trouble. We got to be careful at work what we say. We got to be careful in our social life, at Walmart, with our family, our kids, wherever it might be, our friends. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouths. It can get you in trouble. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not, now notice this, let not thine what? Heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Listen to me, church. This Bible teaches that God hears the thoughts of our hearts, okay? Over and over again. You can't hide from God. Whatever you think, he hears, as if you uttered it verbally. Why? For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. He's not saying you can't spend an hour in prayer with God. You should. But he's saying what you say before his throne must be very carefully thought out. Okay? That's all that means. Well, first of all, praying cautiously means we must not pray rashly. But I see something else this morning concerning praying cautiously, folks. Praying cautiously means we must not make false promises to God. You know that, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you know that a lot of Christians, they're saved, they're born again, they're regenerated, they're on the way to heaven, but they make promises to God and they fail to keep them. That is wickedness. Church, look with me here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 4. When thou vowest a vow, that's a promise, unto God. Now, folks, time out. You can promise your buddy whatever you want. You can promise your spouse, your kids, your boss. You can promise human beings anything you want. You break your promise, that's not good. That's evil. That's sin. But when you promise God something and then you break your promise, that is umpteen times more wicked than breaking a promise to man. Look what it says. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. He says, you're a fool if you do that. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Don't make promises to God that you can't or won't keep. 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. Look at verse number 6. And notice something. Not only are you praying before the living God, and he's hearing every word you say, but who else is listening, according to verse number 6? The angel. The angel. Those angels are real. Those angels are in church this morning. They are listening attentively to the sermon, though some here may not be. I'm here to tell you, those angels are real. And they report to our Heavenly Father. They tell him everything you do. They tell him everything you see, everything you say, everything you think. Now, folks, listen to me. God does not need angels, okay? This is simply a ministry of an angelic ministry that he has chosen to utilize. God doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. God is awesome. God is perfect without us. But notice here in verse number 6, suffer not thy mouth, prayer, to cause thy flesh to sin. Praying in the flesh. See that? Neither say thou before the angel, oh, it was an error. You know, that's like a guy. He says, Lord, I'm going to be a tither. Yes, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give 10% of my income. Every Sunday morning, I'm putting it right in the plate. And he still puts $2, you know. You know, he puts what he feels like putting. Why? He lied to God. He made a promise, a vow to God, and he failed to keep it. A lot of Christians like that today. But look here in verse number 6. He says to the angel, now, of course, this is not a literal case. This is an example God is using. He says to the angel, oh, I didn't mean to tell God I was going to be a tither. Well, number one, you're out of the will of God if you're not a tither. Number two, your guy lied to God, and then he tried to tell the angel that he didn't mean it. You see what's going on here? This is not good. This is making false promises to God. Now, one thing we must be very careful about. When we make a vow is simply an agreement, a promise to God. We need to make sure that we follow through. If you tell God you're going to teach Sunday school, you start teaching Sunday school 3 weeks down the road, you say, I don't really feel like doing that no more. I quit. How many times have you seen that happen? You promise God, I'm going to mission field. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And you never do it, you know. It's false promises to God, folks, and it's evil. Don't do it. Notice back here in verse number 5, the Bible says, it is better that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. The guy that doesn't make any promises to God, first of all, he's not right because he's not surrendered. But he's better off than the guy that made the false promise. Wow, that's sad. That really is. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place again. In 2 Corinthians, there's an incredible promise to you and I. It is a promise from God to the believer. You know that God always keeps his promises, church? Why don't you? Why aren't we like God in the fact of keeping our promises? Look at this. In 2 Corinthians, go with me to chapter number 1. Second Corinthians, chapter number 1, verse number 18. Don't miss this. But as God is true, notice, God always keeps his word, because he is truth, the embodiment of truth, eternally. Our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached amongst you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Folks, verse number 20 makes it plain that God always keeps his promises. You know what you've got in your lap this morning? You got a King James Bible. You've got a holy, divine book from heaven full of promises that God will not fail to keep. Wow. That is the greatest possession of my life. I have a book that God gave me where he makes certain promises to Bob Oliver that he will not break his word. I am so grateful for that. He has promised me a home in heaven. He has promised me to take care of my family. He's promised me a church to preach. All these blessings he has promised and kept his word. Oh, folks, why don't we be more like him? Why don't we keep our word? Why don't we make true promises instead of false? How important that is. But I see, thirdly, this morning, concerning praying cautiously. Not only praying cautiously means we must not pray rashly. Praying cautiously means we must not make false promises to God. But thirdly, praying cautiously means we must not pray robotically. We must not pray robotically. Go with me to the New Testament book of Matthew. God hates robotic prayer. In Matthew chapter number 6. You know some Christians drive God crazy? You know why? Because they pray repetitively, robotically, like a machine instead of a person. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 6, and watch what Jesus Christ says here to the believer. Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, oh, by the way, verse 5, look at that. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they pray. We're going to get to that. Go to verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray. Folks, notice here that Jesus Christ makes a statement. He says there's a whole bunch of people in the world that pray robotically. They pray repetitively. Now, I'm thinking of a certain religion that I grew up in. Thank God he saved me from it. And they teach you to, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed us now at the hour of our death. Folks, God does not want you praying 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers and trying to get your sins forgiven that way. God doesn't want you going to some priest in some booth and confessing your sins to him. God doesn't want you praying repetitively, robotically, hypocritically, and nonsensically. That is complete, utter nonsense. Yet, we have millions, no, billions, like 1.4 billion people in the world today who are doing this very thing that the Bible forbids. They're praying robotically. They're praying repetitively. Oh, I'm going to pray what the priest tells me to pray. Why don't you pray what God tells you to pray? Why don't you seek the Holy Spirit and let him lead you in prayer? Oh, beloved, praying robotically grieves the heart of God. God is not a puppet. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not some treasurer that you can go to and make withdrawals and deposits. God, if we are made in his image, folks, he has feelings. You don't pray that way, robotically. How foolish. And notice what he calls those who do. Verse number 7, as the heathen do. He calls them heathen unbelievers. They know not the truth. That's why they pray that way. Wow. How sad is that? We've got a world full of people that make this horrible mistake of praying, but praying the wrong way. Wow. All right, folks, fourthly this morning and finally, I see something else concerning praying cautiously. Fourthly, praying cautiously means we must not pray hypocritically. We must not pray hypocritically. If you're still in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying these hypocritical priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, they pray to be heard of men instead of God. You know what that is? That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite. You know what the Greek word there is? The Greek word means actor. An actor. You know what actors do? They put on an act. And that's what many Christians do when they pray. Oh, Father. Oh, you hear this guy down in Washington, D.C.? He's called the White House chaplain. The White House chaplain. Oh, me, oh, my. I'd slap him right in the head if I could get my hands on him. Because this guy, and by the way, they pay him $200,000 annually to make his foolish prayers before the politicians in the White House. And he'll go up there, oh God, bless America, oh God, be with us, oh God, amen, amen. Now, I got a question for you, church. Who in the world is that guy praying to? He never mentions the name of the God to whom he's praying. I'll tell you one thing. He's not praying to the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible will not hear your prayer if it's not finished in Jesus' name. oh, we can't mention the name of Jesus, the Muslims might get upset. It's not politically correct. You know what, folks? If I was the president of the United States, the first guy to get fired would be the White House chaplain. I'm sorry to say. Why? He's a hypocrite. You heard me right. He's a hypocrite. He prays for money. Did you hear what I said? Oh, I'm riled up this morning because God is grieved with this generation. He prays for money to get a paycheck and to make the politicians feel good, good, good about themselves. They ought to just put Osteen in the White House and let him pray for them. He won't pray in Jesus' name either. Yeah. We must not pray hypocritically. You go, the guy goes to the priest. He's Catholic. And the priest tells him, yeah, he confesses all the sins to him, you know. I cheated on my wife. I kicked the dog. I stole from my boss. I gave the finger. I had road rage. I gave the guy the finger. You know, all these sins he confesses. And the priest turns around and says to him, oh, you'll be just fine. Go say 10 Hail Marys and 15 Our Fathers. And the guy goes and does it and he thinks he's forgiven. Oh, me, oh my. Hypocrites! You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, go to Matthew chapter 23, folks. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Watch what Jesus Christ says about these people to whom I'm describing to you this morning. Matthew 23, verse number 13. Don't miss this. Verse number 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself, priest, Pharisee, shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Folks, I'm not making this up this morning. It's right from the Word of God. Words in red. Jesus Christ never lies. He says they're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, but we can't possibly criticize the religious leaders of our day, could we? Jesus did. For look what he says about them. These are the religious leaders. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Folks, listen to what Jesus is saying. They're not leading people to the Lord, getting folks saved. They're keeping them from salvation. They're keeping them rejecting the Messiah. 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Jesus says you're going to hell, even though you pray in the synagogue. Wow. 15, it gets worse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, yeah, to Judaism. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Yeah, they're winning converts, all right. They're winning converts to the devil. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. Whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Folks, he tells these religious leaders, notice the wording, verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. 16, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Folks, Jesus Christ is addressing the religious leaders of Israel directly. He's not sending John Baptist. He's not sending the Apostle John. He's not sending Peter or James. He is speaking directly to them, and he says, you're on your way to hell. You're praying hypocritically. It won't get you nowhere. Folks, we must not pray hypocritically. How's that going to apply to us? Oh, let me think of a few things. First of all, you pray with sin in your heart. You're praying hypocritically. You need to repent of that sin, come back to the altar, and pray with a right heart. But I don't want to go on, folks. We need to pray cautiously. We need to pray not rashly. Praying cautiously means not making false promises to God. Praying rashly means, cautiously means not praying robotically before God. And praying cautiously means we must not pray hypocritically. But in closing this morning, let me finish up with this. Aquila Webb wrote, and I quote, "One day, a little girl, about 5 years old, she heard a ranting and raving preacher who was praying most earnestly and loudly in the church house. He was all alone with God. He was praying so loud that the roof began to ring because of the strength of his voice and supplications before God. So turning to her mother and beckoning the maternal ear down to a speaking place, she whispered, 'Mother, don't you think that if preacher lived nearer to God, that he wouldn't have to talk so loud for him to hear his prayer?'" Folks, the little girl makes a lot of sense. You don't need to scream for God to hear you. You don't need to rant and rave and holler for hours upon hours and pray hypocritically and repetitively and robotically. You simply need to pour out your heart before his throne. He will hear and he will answer when we pray cautiously. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning. Got a little carried away, but I thank you for the message of warning concerning us today in praying cautiously. Lord, it's important that we pray, but it's more important that we pray right. And in the way that we pray right is when we pray cautiously, we consider what we put out before your throne, Lord. In our supplications, we think before we speak, Lord. We contemplate the desires of our hearts and the sincerity therein. And then, Lord God, we can indeed make certain promises to thee in our prayer closet, O God. And we can follow through on those promises by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we need not be like the scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I thank you, Lord, that we can be sincere, true believers with true hearts, assuring our hearts before him and receiving the things we ask of him because they are according to his will. We thank you, Father, for loving us so. And we thank you, Lord, for leaving so many examples in the Bible concerning prayer and the proper way to do it. Lord, the world out there this morning cares nothing about this message because they do not pray to the living God. They have no desire whatsoever to communicate with thee. They need regeneration, new birth. They need to be born again. They need to become God's child, a son of God or a daughter of God by new birth. And Father, I pray that multitudes will come in these final days as we see the day of your return approaching so closely now. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be praying, seeking your face, and doing your will through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand. We'll finish up with a hymn this morning. I'd like us to go to hymn number 60, because hymn number 60 really is a prayer. Speaking of prayers this morning, hymn number 60 is a prayer hymn. Many of the hymns of the faith, the hymns of old, are anointed prayers. And this is a prayer for the Lord to lead us. Amen. And how we need that leading of the Lord. First, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth of hymn 60. Listen to the words as we sing it to the Lord. Altar is open.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Such we need thy tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy fold prepare.
blessed Jesus.
Very well. Father in heaven, how we thank you for a good service this morning. And oh Lord, we know the devil didn't want us to sing that hymn, but we thank you, Lord. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank you that you guide us and you lead us through this life. Father, we just ask you to continue to do so. Lord, we love you and we thank you for teaching us knowledge, knowledge of God through thy word. Lord, it causes us to walk in right paths, turning not to the right hand nor to the left, letting our eyes ponder the path of our feet, looking right on, following the leading of thy Holy Spirit. How we thank you for that today, Lord. This morning we love you and we thank you for good service, good fellowship. We look forward to another service today. That would be tonight at 6 p.m. Lord, bring us back once again to worship thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.